Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
What's going on, guys? It is Chris again, and I am here for the Thanksgiving edition of the NXT review. I do apologize, it is just a little bit late. They've got me working like crazy hours right now. I mean, it's Thanksgiving, you don't get a break. The day before, you don't get a break. The day after, and then Saturday, I'm not going to get a break. So it's just one of those things where, you know what, you do what you got to do. So again, I apologize about that. You can follow me on Twitter at TheCO Place to Go. Same on Twitch. I'm not trying to do the live broadcast today on Twitch. I will be picking that back up when I have a little bit more time, a little less holiday things to do in the upcoming weeks. Again, the actual full podcast is the_WWE_podcast. It is on on Twitter, but you can find it on any of the great podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and all the above. This week in WWE, we had some great stuff with War Games. Let me tell you, NXT really came out on top. NXT showed themselves as the top brand, and I feel like they had to once the invasion happened. And for, you know, to set up Survivor Series and things like that, I felt like they had to come out on top on Survivor Series. But when it came to War Games, let me tell you something about War Games. It was fantastic. I did a War Games review, but War Games itself was fantastic. The women showed out with Team Ripley. Big heel turn there, which did correlate to a match tonight on the, you know, NXT Live. Rhea Ripley really showed herself out. Again, more stuff. There's going to be a lot that came out of War Games that happens tonight on the NXT episode. And then the men's War Games match, you had the return of Kevin Owens. You know, that was very, very exciting to see. Obviously, I'm assuming it's not going to be full-time as he pretty much jumps in a program with Seth Rollins immediately on Raw. And then Authors of Pain come out. That was War Games, and in relation to Survivor Series the night after, like I said, NXT got the win. They got four total wins. One of them, I believe, was counting is the one of the pre-show matches, which was Leo Rush. He won the he is the NXT Cruiserweight Championship. But he had, who was it, Tozawa, and who was the other one? Kalisto, I think it was, in that match. He won that. The women won the women's match. The North American champion Roderick Strong beat AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura. Shayna Baszler won the triple threat match for the main event, which I thought was a pretty bad main event, to be quite honest with you. I thought they'd have the men's War Game match, maybe even the women's War Games match, but Survivor Series match. But to have the triple threat women's championship match on, I did think was a little odd. It is something that, you know, didn't come off. Yeah, I was watching that, and I actually shut it off. I just kind of lost interest in that match. The rest of the matches, to me, were not terrible. Adam Cole, Pete Dunne, that was a very to me, good match. I'm surprised Adam Cole was as together as he was after he took that huge bump in the men's War Games match. Pete Dunne looked good. I love Pete Dunne, you know, former NXT UK champion. But, you know, everything that he touches seems to come out good, like his moveset and things like that. But I'm just happy that those guys came out of their respective matches on Saturday night and were still able to put together a good show on Sunday. One thing that I kind of skipped here a little bit was the, when I say this week in WWE, normally I go over some things, and that was the big spot here. But I want to talk about the Corey Graves, Mauro Ranallo issue. Now, I want to preface this by saying I fully understand the effects of anxiety, depression, mental illness, different things like that, you know, maybe not so much with myself, but with people that I know. And so Mauro Ranallo, I guess, has a very severe case, if that's what you want to call it. I'm not really sure what it is, but he in the past has, you know, even talked about quitting over comments or just, you know, him being in his feelings and things like that in the past. Now, Corey Graves made a comment, and I don't have the exact, you know, word-for-word comment, but he made a comment during the NXT pay-per-view just about how, basically, I'm going to paraphrase this, but saying that you have a WWE Hall of Famer, you have a former Ring of Honor world champion, maybe they have some insight, maybe they have something to add to the match. Essentially saying Ranallo talks too much. Also, he said something about too many hip-hop references and things like that. And, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I fully agree with Corey Graves. Now, we're in a time, 2019. It doesn't really matter. The year, 2018, was the same. But, you know, where everyone is always ultra-sensitive. And we've talked about this in the last week or two on this show. I'm just talking about everyone's ultra sensitive. Everyone has a problem with everything. Everyone sues everyone for everything. Everyone else, it's always everyone else's problem. It's never your own. So in this situation, you know, Mauro Ranallo apparently was totally devastated by this or whatever the situation was and couldn't work the show tonight. So they had Tom Phillips. And my thing with this is, you know, I do understand that those issues are legitimate issues, and I'm not downplaying those. But people are calling for Corey Graves to get fired. And, you know, this comes off the heels of Jim Cornette getting fired for making fun of Trevor Murdoch in NWA, saying something about he looks like he'd have a bucket of chicken on him running through Ethiopia or something. I forgot what it was. It was something stupid. And, you know, that's not the reason Cornette got fired. There was a lot of other things. Apparently, you know, he was on his last straw. But people are calling for Corey Graves to have the same, you know, treatment and the same backlash as Jim Cornette. And I think that's absolutely ridiculous. Nothing that Corey Graves said there. Now, Corey Graves can say things that are over the line. He does overstep boundaries. He's got his new show After the Bell or whatever it's called. And of course, it is got to be WWE sponsored in a sense. Like, he's not going to say or have anyone on there who's going to fully degrade WWE or anything like that. But what he said, just basically saying, hey, can you give these people a turn? Like, they maybe have something to add. They have something to say. That's not bad. And if you're that sensitive and weak, I don't want to use that in a bad term, but if you're that weak and sensitive, maybe this isn't the job for you. I mean, you have to deal with people on Twitter and everything. He deleted it. Mauro Ranallo deleted his Twitter and all this stuff. Like, I don't know, I guess I've never had to personally battle something like that, like, you know, a case of hurt feelioma that he has all the time. But he needs to, as an adult, as a person who is in the spotlight of a national TV show where he commentates, you know, his style is different, and I love his style, but sometimes it's too much, you know. I love the Mamma Mias and some of the random comments. But there are a lot of times where it's just nonstop. And I would love to hear more Nigel McGuinness. Beth Phoenix, you know, I give or take Beth Phoenix there. That doesn't matter. But, you know, she does randomly say some good things. And I'm going to be honest with you, it's refreshing to hear. I think she's more legitimate than Renee Young in that same type of role. But Marlon Ronaldo does kind of take the show over. I'm not looking for a Jerry the King Lawler. There's a bunch of dumb comments randomly put in here and there. But I just feel like you have to be a little stronger, a little tougher skin if you're in a situation like that. And for me, Marlon Ronaldo is not. He really needs to figure things out and understand that there may have been things in the past that have been said by different people. But that specific comment that's going to put you in a quote-unquote tough place is what is being put out there, to me, is sad. It's soft, sad, and you need to get over yourself if you're Mauro Ronaldo, to be quite honest. These times are everyone's entirely too sensitive, and it's sad, to be quite honest. It's pathetic. Like, you know, I feel bad for my son, who is going to have to deal with probably times even worse than this. Life is going to be different, and I just feel bad that, you know, we were dealing with this in wrestling, which is supposed to be an escape. You know, the WWE sports, things like that are escapes from reality. They're games. You know, there are times where people can have a good time and have fun.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And, you know, things like this, to me, just bring down that fun. It sucks. I'm going to move on to the weekly birthday, and I'm doing it on the 27th here, even though we're in the 28th at this point. Who's Eric Rowan, I think, on the 28th, and somebody else. I'm not a Candice LeRae, if I'm not mistaken. But on the 27th here, great one this week. We've had a couple rough weeks. Great one this week. British Bulldog would have been 57. British Bulldog, of course, a member of the Hart family via marriage. Multi-time champion in WWE. He was a champion in Eastern Championship Wrestling before it was Extreme. And, of course, Stampede Wrestling. Two kids. One, of course, Harry Smith, Davey Boy Smith Jr., named different things, different places. Who is also a multi-time champ in the U.S. and in Japan. He died in, David Boy Smith died in 2002, cardiac arrest. The assumption, obviously, is a mix of all the steroids, pain pills, and all that type of stuff. He had a serious back injury. And I want to say 98 to 2000, somewhere in there, 98 or 99, I think it was, in WCW. In the match where the Ultimate Warrior came back and he had that kind of like door under the ring, he got slammed. I think it was a back body drop, actually, or a suplex, one of the two. He got slammed right on that, right in his like hip, lower back. And I mean, it crippled him. Took a lot of pain pills. He was addicted to pain pills, morphine, all kinds of stuff. Went back to WWE in 2000, got released at the beginning of 2000, probably like March, Mayish. They put him in rehab, Vince McMahon-sponsored rehab. You know, he was trying to get his act together. In 2002, started training again for a return to wrestling and had a few tag matches like a week or two before he died. So, you know, that was tough. He would have been 57 now. Definitely not wrestling now. He died in 2002. His old tag team partner, Dynamite Kid, I believe died last year or earlier this year. So it was tough seeing the British Bulldogs, both go out, but, you know, it was, the British Bulldog was awesome. His son, never really got the run he should have got in WWE, but has done quite well in Japan. And I think it was recently in TNA, I believe it was TNA. So hopefully we can see him in the future. Maybe if, you know, people are in good graces again in WWE, maybe he will come there one day himself and continue that legacy. All right, so we've talked about all the random stuff. Now we're going to get to the NXT show for tonight. So I'm going to kind of bounce around here. I'm going to let you know the matches and some of the promos from tonight set up these matches. So normally what I do is I discuss some of the promos at the end, but I'm going to go with some of the promos at the beginning. So I'm going to make sure I don't forget anything in this review. The beginning segment was actually pretty cool. You had all of NXT come out to celebrate what was one hell of a weekend. And you had everybody cheering. Everything was great. You know, all the, you know, the faces in the locker room. Pretty much everyone in the locker room but the Undisputed Era was out there. And of course, Undisputed Era comes out and they kind of interject and say that, you know, this weekend wouldn't have been as good as it was if it wasn't for the Undisputed Era. And, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, you had Roderick Strong who got a win and Adam Cole got a win over a fellow NXT guy. But other than that, the Undisputed Era was highly unsuccessful. They lost the War Games match. Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly lost their match on against the Viking Raiders and the New Day. So, you know, it was, they were highly unsuccessful, but they said that, you know, if it wasn't for them, nobody would be anything. Nobody would be cheering. So Ciampa gets out, calls out Adam Cole. You know, Adam Cole was talking about how they don't take days off because the first match of the night was going to be the, well, a match for the night, I should say, was going to be Dijakovic and Lee versus O'Reilly and Fish. It ends up becoming the first match of the night. But as Ciampa's calling out Adam Cole, Finn Balor answered, said that he's got to go through him to get to Adam Cole, and that set up the main event of the night. So that was actually a pretty good beginning to the night, which set up a really good match. Right from the start, you had Undisputed Era take it to Keith Lee and Dominik Dijakovic. They end up getting Dijakovic out of the ring and go after Lee. Lee ends up, of course, taking over like he always does. Keith Lee is, you know, if he doesn't get a run on the championship one of these days, I feel that's a great disservice. Or even at the North American Championship, he's got to get his hands on something. I thought that would be Velveteen Dream, but with him being out with injury, I think this is where Keith Lee steps in and kind of takes over this division. Keith Lee ends up throwing out Kyle O'Reilly. Now, he then goes to throw out Bobby Fish. He throws Bobby Fish out, and you can tell O'Reilly that the spot was for him to catch him. Now, I don't know if O'Reilly was positioned wrong, Lee didn't throw him far enough. I don't want to blame Keith Lee, but O'Reilly did not catch him, and it looked like he hit his head on the outside floor. Now, that being said, you know, everyone, you know, is playing it safe with concussions, especially WWE, and the ringside doctor said he couldn't compete, so, you know, Steven Regal comes out, or William Regal comes out, and says that he cannot continue, but the match will continue. Roderick Strong will take his place, because it's under Freebird rule. So, in essence, Undisputed Era always goes off of the Freebird rule, which, you know, means anybody in your faction can represent that belt at any time. So, to me, that was actually pretty good. It was a good way to save the match, because if not, this match would have to be Kyle O'Reilly by itself, and that changes the entire, you know, version of what this match would be. Back in the ring, Dijakovic suplexes Lee onto O'Reilly and Strong as he comes in. To me, that was one of the biggest pops of the night, and a huge NXT chant going. Biggest pop of the night, in my opinion, was also in this match towards the end. Lee hit some big splashes on the Undisputed Era in the corners. A lot of back and forth. There was no big offense for the Undisputed Era. This was not the match they planned for. Obviously, Roderick Strong came in and worked a safe match, a good match, put, you know, got some moves done, you know, on him, for him, and all that. But this was definitely not the match that was supposed to happen. Dijakovic goes for a powerbomb on Kyle O'Reilly, but he hung on and applied the triangle submission, which I believe was similar to the final minutes of War Games, the men's War Game match. Dijakovic struggled with it, and then once Strong approaches, he got him with a one-hand choke slam, while also at the same time powerbombing Kyle O'Reilly. That was a big moment and kind of game changer in this match. It was a close two count. He gets them both up, gets a double choke slam on him, but then gets distracted by Adam Cole coming out. Keith Lee intercepted him in the rampway. And when I say intercepted, I mean he hit him with a pounce that sent him in the second row, three seats back into that row. It was unbelievable. Like, it's probably one of the biggest memes out there right now. You know, I've seen everything on Twitter from, you know, this is what happens when somebody gets out of line and it just sees somebody disappear. Something from the new bouncer. You know, when family acts up at Thanksgiving. Like, you know, that type of stuff. It's all pretty good. Now, of course, you know, you look at it. It's the first match of the night. And the people we landed on, those are definite stage fans. Probably some guys from the Performance Center. or, you know, hired wrestlers, local, who were sitting in those front rows to catch Adam Cole. That was the biggest pop. It was unbelievable. That is probably the move or the moment of the year in relation to not being, you know, a victory or anything like that. During this distraction, Undisputed Era hits their finisher on Dijakovic for the win. This match, to me, gets a 3.5 out of 5, strictly because of that move. Other than that, to me, the match lacked just a little bit, just due to the replacement. I think it changed the match. I think we would have got a little bit more of a true Undisputed Era match, which we did not get with O'Reilly and Strong. But still, that match, let me tell you, that move alone accounts for just quality. Adam Cole ceases to amaze me on the stuff he does and the things that happens. And Keith Lee is just outstanding.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I mean, bask in his glory, unbelievably. As Keith Lee said before, it's basking season, and let me tell you, I'm fully in on Keith Lee. Next match up is going to be Shane Thorne versus Mansoor. This is the first time I've seen Mansoor on TV since the Crown Jewel, where he won the Battle Royal in his home country. There was a lot of back and forth at the beginning with some chops and strikes. Mansoor had a nice standing moonsault for a two count. You know, Shane Thorne, wasn't he in, what was it, TM61? I remember when tag team wrestling was actually a thing in NXT. And, you know, that's something that I want to stop this part and talk about. When is the Undisputed Era going to get any type of competition? You know, last week it was great on NXT. They had the Revival came back and faced them. That's wonderful. You know, some of these tag teams that are just drowning and dying on the main roster. You know, you've got the Revival. I'll use them as an example. You know, you got Heavy Machinery. I mean, they're just basically a joke at this point. But, you know, you moved guys from Sanity, and now they're all doing their own thing, and that's awesome, minus Eric Young. I mean, Eric Young, the leader of Sanity, fell apart, and I mean, I'm surprised he hasn't been released, which is unfortunate because I like his body of work in that Sanity group. You know, you've got American Alpha, and I know, you know, Jason Jordan's hurt and, you know, may never come back, but Shorty G, no. Chad Gable was a great tag team wrestler. Authors of Pain are doing stuff now, but it's just, there's so many tag teams that I feel, I mean, do the Ascension still work for WWE? I don't even know. Like, they used to be good. I mean, what happened? But then again, I say that, and you know, you got a lot of guys who were good. You got your Apollo Crews and guys like that who are just completely garbage when it goes to the red and blue brand. But yeah, let's get tag team wrestling back in NXT, please, because the current state is just awful. Like, they're just awful. I gotta digress here and go back to, you got me talking about Shane Thorne and TM61. It's unbelievable. But so Mansoor hit that nice standing moonsault. Shane Thorne ends up getting sent outside, but as Mansoor is going to try to dive on him on the outside, he gets caught. He gets hit with a big suplex on the floor that led to a pretty close two count when he threw Mansoor back in the ring. Get some more strikes back and forth. Thorne hit a really nice German suplex for a close two count. I will say Shane Thorne looks good. Looks a lot. He looks better than he did when he was wrestling. I know. I'm pretty sure he was out for a while with a knee injury. His partner gets cut. He's still there. I don't know. He's got a good look, but he's just not. He's not in a position. There's so many singles good wrestlers now in NXT that I feel like a guy like that, like, you have to be in a tag team, and maybe he'll find a tag team partner. That would be awesome. I would love that, but I just don't see it happening anytime soon. Mansoor ends up sending Thorne outside and ends up hitting a dive. He sends Thorne in, launches himself up from the apron, hit a nice neck breaker on Thorne, gets the pin. This match for me, a 2 out of 5. Neither guy does very much for me. Shane Thorne, like I said, was part of a pretty good tag team when tag team wrestling was probably one of the biggest parts of NXT. Probably the highest part. We're talking about 2016. Mansoor, good to see him on TV every once in a while, but there's a lot of other guys that I think are way above him. This was a nice match for guys who you're just not going to see, who, and we're coming off of a big pay-per-view, just to kind of throw a match together, see what kind of reaction they get, and see where it's going to lead for the weeks to come. But other than that, 2 out of 5, nothing spectacular. Next match is Candice LeRae and Dakota Kai. Now, this match was set up due to the Dakota Kai turning her back on her team at War Games with Team Ripley. She, you know, put the boots in the fists to Tegan Knox, her longtime, what is it, what do they call it, Team Kick or something like that, to Tegan Knox in the cage when it was her turn to come into the match. Candice LeRae and Rhea Ripley were the last two left. So Candice LeRae said that, you know, Tegan Knox will have her time with Dakota Kai, but tonight was her time with her. Dakota Kai entered the ring with the knee brace of Tegan Knox. I'm just going to go through some highlights of this match. Candice LeRae had a ton of energy in this match. I mean, she really played the part where she was, you know, fighting for Tegan Knox. Hit a nice head first dive onto the floor onto Dakota Kai, right up against the ring barrier there. Dakota Kai responds by slamming LeRae face first into the ring post and then the apron underneath. There was a nice Hurricanrana counter by Dakota Kai that led to a powerbomb. And there were some nice finisher attempts by both women. There was a nice tornado DDT by Candice LeRae for a close 2 count. Kai hit the chiropractor. If I'm murdering these names, you know what? I believe that's what was said. The chiropractor for a close 2 count. LeRae had the submission. It was the same as Gargano's submission locked in, but Kai rolled out of the ring. As she rolls out of the ring, she went to grab something. Candice LeRae charges, but Dakota Kai hits her in the face with the knee brace. Now, that hit in the face actually busted her open. She had a decent-sized cut in the inside of her lip. Didn't need stitches, but still a decent-sized cut. She got hit with a knee brace right in front of the ref. Ref calls for the DQ, which LeRae gets the win, but she took some punishment after, and Dakota Kai was beating her up with the knee brace, throwing her against the steps on the outside. Dakota Kai goes to grab a chair to go hit LeRae, but Ripley comes down to make the save. This match got a 2.5 out of 5. There was a lot of energy in this match. Almost going to go with the 3 count. I hate DQs. I would love to see, especially in, I mean, it, not a grudge match because it wasn't a grudge match, but it was coming off the heels of a huge heel turn on War Games. I would like to see a little bit more action in this in terms of allowing them to wrestle. It's kind of like in basketball. Let them play. Don't call the fouls. Let these women play. 2.5 out of 5, I will say. Candice LeRae, to me, this sets up maybe a return match. It could lead to Ripley match before she gets to Baszler. It could lead to Tegan Knox, and I would assume it'd be a big blow-off fight with Tegan Knox maybe at the next pay-per-view. Not 100% sure. Next match, we actually had a Cruiserweight Championship match. It was between Tozawa and Lio Rush. Now, what I'll say about this match is at the pre-show, that Survivor Series, you had Lio Rush, like we already talked about, beat Tozawa and Kalisto for that belt. What are they doing with Tozawa? Nobody knows. They wrestled on Raw, or he wrestled on Raw against Andrade, if I'm not mistaken. And now he's wrestling Lio Rush. I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I like Tozawa's style. Both these guys are good. I mean, each one of these guys were at each other from the beginning and ended up, they, Tozawa missed a senton as Rush moved. Rush hit a quick splash. Fans were cheering him on, the classic cruiserweight back and forth. Come to a stalemate in the middle. Everyone cheers. That's how this match got started. It was fantastic. Rush went for a nice German on the from the apron to the floor, but Tozawa fought him off. Lio Rush also went for a powerbomb to the floor, but Tozawa stopped it as well. Tozawa ended up hitting with a big kick, which dropped Rush to the floor. And, of course, the classic commercial. Gotta love the commercials. Tozawa was the one standing tall. Once we're back from the break, you see Lio Rush has Tozawa grounded. Tozawa gets rushed in the fireman's carry and slams him face first in the mat. Hits him with a nice drop kick to knock him out of the ring. Tozawa went for a dive out of the ring, but Leo Rush move. And then Tozawa went to the apron instead and ran for hit him for a big senton, which took Leo Rush back to the floor. Some nice NXT chants going in the background now. Fans were really in this match. There was a lot of energy in this match. To be honest, this was probably the third best match of actually the second best match of the night, between second and third, because you know the tag team match was hit and miss. You love the guys in it, you love the moves in it, and some of the big things in there to me puts that up towards the top. And of course, there's the main event, but this match held a real close to be if it wasn't the second best match. Then you got Tozawa. He was in the middle of the ring, but Rush blocked and just unloaded on him with a lot of like quick strikes. There was some back and forth counters and things like that. Both of these guys, I mean, it was one of those matches where right after that they both collided in midair with jumping kicks. It was fantastic. The fans started chanting, "This is awesome." I'm gonna be honest. Leo Rush has put together some of the best matches. Four cruiserweights, in my opinion, nothing against Cedric Alexander, Drew Gulak, Tony Nese, any of these guys, but I would say Leo Rush has brought some fire back to this cruiserweight belt, some attitude, some aggression, even though he does kind of have that little cocky attitude when it comes to these matches. He's all business.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Rush ends up fighting off Tozawa as he gets the suplex attempt block. Rush ended up getting caught with a really big German suplex from the apron to the floor. Both guys, after this, barely make it back to the ring. Now, everyone, to be honest, I don't know who in the crowd was behind who, because you got Leo Rush, who I guess could be considered kind of like that tweener face heel, but the fans were behind this match in general. Rush countered and hit another German and rolled him up for a two count. He did have a botch when he was going to hit the come up, and he hit the mat, but I can look over that spot and not think that did too much to hurt the match. Tozawa went up for a big senton, but Rush got his knees up. So Leo Rush struggles to get back to the top rope, hits the final hour with Tozawa actually trying to crawl and stand up. So he hit it on his back. As he bounces out of that, he goes to the other corner, hits him with a final hour again. He covers him for the pin, and he retains. That match, 3 out of 5. Like I said, it is a very close 2-2B match for the night. I will say that, you know, this match was one of those two that, you know, if you're going to rewatch this show, this is actually one to rewatch because just the fans' perspective and the momentum that was in this match is one for, like, it was a great match to have on a post pay-per-view show. So the next match was Xia Li, not sure how you say her name, but Xia Li and Vanessa Bourne. There wasn't a lot to this match. I'm going to throw my rating out right now, 1 out of 5. This came about because Xia Li broke Aaliyah's nose, and so Bourne called her out, wanted to have a match, and this match lasted not a lot of time. I'm going to give it maybe a minute. There was more action post-match than it was pre-match. Bourne charges Xia Li. Li sidesteps her, hits her with a nice powerbomb, very strong powerbomb. As she does that, the horsewomen are outside. Xia Li sees that, gets a nice running kick to the back of Bourne's head, gets her with the pin, And as she's standing there, the Jessamine Duke and Marina Shafir start to take out Xia Li, but she starts fighting back. Baszler comes in and takes her out. And as this is happening, Rhea Ripley comes down and cuts a promo on Baszler, saying that, you know, even though she beat Bayley, congrats on beating Bayley, congrats on beating Becky Lynch, the person she didn't beat was her at War Games, and that she will beat her the next time again for the NXT Championship. One thing that Baszler said that was a classic line for me of the night, she said, you will be tapping or napping like the rest. I thought that was the best line, but Rhea Ripley looks strong in this. It is one of those things where Rhea Ripley, I think, needs to be the next champion of the women's division in NXT. I don't know if you move Baszler up, because if you do, do you move the other one? The other two, Shafir and Duke, they're awful. You know, I love that Shafir is Roderick Strong's wife, but, I mean, they're awful wrestlers. I cannot stand their matches. But, you know, Baszler looks good. And I think the reason that Duke and Shafir were not in War Games was just because they're not ready. Like, they are by far from ready to be in that position. Then our final match of the night is going to be our main event, and that is Finn Balor versus Tommaso Ciampa. This was set up from earlier in the night, where you had Ciampa call out Adam Cole, and, you know, Balor came out. Both of these guys hit all their usual moves in this match. The crowd was super hot into this match. One thing I like about Tommaso Ciampa's matches are how he always talks and he comments during the match and he yells and he says different things to his opponents. And of course, the cameraman and the mics all key in on that stuff. And that's one thing I love about Ciampa. He's really good at all that type stuff. You know, he puts himself in places to where he always looks strong and always looks in control by doing that. It was a nice spot where Ciampa catapulted Balor from the floor to the ring post. You don't really see that. You see that in the ring, and it's like this wild jump, and the guy's face, sometimes even chest, hits the top turnbuckle, and a lot of times he falls out of the ring or does some wild stuff. But this was from the ground outside into the ring post from the outside, so that was pretty nice. Balor was building some momentum there with a run around the ring, hit a nice dropkick on Ciampa. I love his dropkicks into the ring barriers. That was fantastic. While they're outside of the ring, he went for 1916 on the ramp, but Ciampa countered him and dropped Balor head first onto the ramp. Now, this was after, like I said, they did all their usual moves. They did, you know, the Falcon Arrow and all these other moves that are just, you know, finishing moves on just about anybody. But, you know, with these guys, they put on a hell of a show at the end. Now, after that attempt at 1916 and in the counter, Ciampa made it in at 7. Balor barely made it in under 10. You know, there's a little bit more back and forth in the ring, and then Adam Cole runs down. Ciampa sees him and kind of takes him out, knocks him down, punches him in the face. And as he does that, Balor, you know, takes out Tommaso Ciampa. He goes to grab the title that Adam Cole had in his hand to hit Ciampa, but the ref, Jessica Carr, took it and kind of threw it to the side. Now, obviously, perfect placement for what happens in the rest of the match, but place it on the ground. So Balor sees it. He ends up dropping Ciampa back head first. It's kind of like a reverse DDT onto the belt. And there was no DQ. So you see right when Balor does it, he kind of like looks up at the ref, kind of saying like, what the hell? Like, had his hands out, like all confused. Basically, it wasn't me. Why did this happen? You know, what are we going to do about it? So, you know, he doesn't go for the pin or anything like that. The ref goes to pick up the belt and take it outside as Balor's over there. And as Ciampa kind of rolls to the side, you have Cole gets up and kicks him, Ciampa, in the head. As he does that, Ciampa kind of rolls back in, gets hit with the 1916 by Balor for the win. Balor picks up a nice victory. I mean, these guys left it in the ring tonight. This match gets a 3.5 out of 5. Great match. You had Balor after kind of posing with Adam Cole. You know, this whole time you don't know whose side he's on. They stare at each other. They don't walk with each other, but Balor walks through them without an issue, doesn't say or do anything. So they're posing. You know, Cole's got his Undisputed Era pose up. Balor's got his little gun pointing one. And then he Pele kicks Cole, which sends the show off. Nice Pele kick, drops Cole on the ground. And you got fans chanting for Balor. So it was one of those situations where, is he a heel? Yeah. But do people love him? Yeah. I mean, it's that kind of tweener role. And I just love when guys are like that, because you can play to both sides. And you never have to worry about, you know, pissing too many people off, because, you know, there's everyone's going to be happy. So match-wise, what stood out tonight? Obviously, the first match stood out from a couple of the spots. Couple things in the lead, Dijakovic versus Undisputed Era match. How long will Bobby Fish be out? I know he's listed currently as day-to-day, but how long will he be out with potential concussion syndromes? And the spot with Keith Lee pouncing Adam Cole into the stands was absolutely fantastic. Balor versus Ciampa, where Balor turns on Cole at the end with the Pele kick. That was fantastic. Great way to end the night. I see a lot of people talk about how, you know, NXT puts on takeover style matches on their weekly shows and how they should wait and they shouldn't ruin feuds and blah, blah, blah. But I feel the opposite. I feel that if their takeovers are always amazing, and they only put on usually four matches on every takeover, they have to have these matches. Otherwise, their weekly shows would be, you know, they would not be very fun. They would not be very good. They would be very, like, drab. And they'd basically be Raw and SmackDown. So I love the fact that they have all these great wrestlers to have all these great matches week to week, because it gives us something to talk about and see. Last thing match-wise to watch is definitely the Tozawa-Leo Rush match. Leo Rush is obviously set up to face Garza, and I have a feeling that Angel Garza will be the one that takes the belt off of him. But this is one of those situations where this is definitely a match to see. You had three really good matches on this. Candice LeRae, Dakota Kai wasn't too bad. Xia Li, I could have done without that one. Same with the Shane Thorne match. Other than the promo I already talked about earlier, there was a nice Cameron Grimes vignette. Kind of a cheesy character he's playing, but he's a really good wrestler. Trevor Lee is great. Looking forward to more matches on TV with him. And then towards the end, it's a WWE.com exclusive, but Tommaso Ciampa, after the match, did a nice little send-off for Jessica Carr, the referee in that match. She is heading to SmackDown, and she got on there and talked as well. Really nice send-off. If you have a chance to see that, check that out on YouTube or WWE.com. That was fantastic. Now, where do we go from here? Next week, only thing that I know that's going on next week, we have Killian Dane versus Damian Priest. They're saying Damian Priest cracked two ribs in the War Games match. I know he did work the Survivor Series match, but he did crack two ribs. So that match is next week, Killian Dane, Damian Priest. That's pretty much it. Please feel free to reach out to me on Twitter at @TheCOPlaceToGo. I'd love to talk to you there or about you on here if you have any questions or comments. And I would love to cover them on future shows. But that's going to be it for me tonight. Happy Thanksgiving. I do apologize. It was a little bit late, but we will see you next week.